This is the bit before the theme music. I have a spoiler alert for you. This episode is rubbish. Run the theme music. Actually, hold on. Just before... No, it's, when I say it's rubbish, what I mean is it's about as rubbish as all the other episodes. It's not particularly rubbish. It's just, you get the idea. Anyway, run the theme music now. You can run it now. Off you go.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. Do you know what? I was nearly going to say what episode it was then, but I don't know what episode it is. Do you know what? We haven't done the interactive bit this year, since December, so I'm going to do it now. Are you ready? Here we go. How you doing? Yeah, no, I'm bringing it back. Yeah, I forgot to do it the last few episodes, but I'm doing... No, because some people enjoyed... But it's sort of interactive, and you get to be part of the... Well, fine, forget it then. No, if you're going to... Forget it. All right, no interactive. Fine, I don't care. And scene. How was that? Yep, good. Do you know what? As I'm recording this, outside, we've got the heaviest snowfall we've had this year. And it looks like the light dusting of icing sugar you'd get on top of a cake. It's next to nothing. When I woke up this morning, I looked out and there's a bit of snow, and I said to Robin, oh look Robin, it's snowing outside. They're all excited, and it's pretty much already melted. It looks like, and it's apparently it's going to rain later. So that was it. That's all we had this year. It's been incredibly cold all winter, but we just haven't had any snow. You probably don't care, but where I live is fairly close to the coast, and we're in sort of like a bit of a bowl, and that means we don't get much snow. You only have to travel like about 10, 15 miles, and you'll get half decent snow when it snows. But where I am, it's very rare to get any snow. So yeah, that was it. That was this year's snow, I guess. So I haven't got a lot of housekeeping, but I've got something very, very exciting. I've had an email from Barry Grapefruit. Now, we haven't heard from Barry Grapefruit in a while. He stopped listening to the podcast. Judging by the listening figures, I don't think he's come back. I've only got two listeners. I don't think he's one of them. But this is what his email says, and it's exciting stuff, kids. It says, "Hi, Jack. I was thinking of putting together a convention for fans of the Total Christmas Podcast. With the current listener base, I think it can be held in the broom closet of the Howard Johnson Motor Lodge in Bakersfield, California. They have kindly offered that we can use the service entrance and to not display any signage for the event so attendees can remain anonymous. As a perk, early registrants will get one chapter of Thursday Night's Alright by Jack Andrews. The motel has offered us a box of misprinted letterhead stationery that we can print on the back of. Yours, Barry Grapefruit." Well, I think that's really exciting stuff. So, if you want to be part of this fantastic convention held in the broom closet of the Howard Johnson Motor Lodge in Bakersfield, California, contact Barry Grapefruit. I'm guessing he's on Facebook. I've never seen him. I've never contacted him myself. He frequently contacts me. Well, that's been a while, and it is good to hear from him. And it's good that he still cares about the podcast. So, yeah, that's exciting news. Could be a great event if you want to go along. Yeah. That is pretty much it for housekeeping, though. So, should we start the show? Yeah, we'll start the show. We're starting it right now. Ready, steady, go.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Boys and girls, you'll probably remember that two episodes ago, I covered one of the Killers' Christmas songs. That one was called A Great Big Sled. This week, I'm covering another Killers song. And I'm covering this song because it was mentioned by Bob Baker in his segment last episode. And I thought, do you know what? I should talk about that song. And I am. I'm doing it now. This is me doing that.
I wasted my wishes on Saturday. Just one more. I'd soften my heart, shock the world.
Now, this song is called Boots, And it was released in 2010, and it was the fifth Christmas song released by The Killers. And I don't know if you remember, but I told you that they did one a year for 10 years and then released them all out on an album as well. And all the proceeds from the songs go to the Product Red charity. Now, this song was recorded while The Killers were on hiatus, but they came back together to record the song just because they were doing a yearly song and they wanted to keep supporting the cause. Now, the song opens with a little snippet from It's a Wonderful Life. It's the bit where George Bailey is sitting in the bar. I'll play the clip for you.
Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way.
And then it kicks into the song. The song's message is kind of like about how Christmas is a time for redemption and fresh starts. And the title of the song being Boots refers to when it says in the song, stomp my boots before I go back in. And I think the idea of that is that they're saying you're getting rid of the old bad stuff. You're stomping it off your boots. You're clearing it off as you can go back in for Christmas and have a fresh start, which I think's lovely. I'll play a bit of the song for you. Here it comes. Now, I do like this song, but sadly, I don't think it's very Christmassy. There's no sleigh bells in the background, there's no chimes, and the previous song we covered had both of those. The lyrics themselves are Christmassy, I'll give them that, but the song itself just doesn't feel it, so I don't really think personally I'll add it to my playlist. But again, like I said, it is a song that I like. The video's good, and it's worth checking out. I'd suggest going on YouTube and having a gander. It was directed by Jared Hess and T.C. Christensen. Jared Hess was the director of Napoleon Dynamite, and it features a chap called Brad Prowley, who's known as Superbad Brad, and he's a famous New York City street performer, and his act is pretty much, he looks like a homeless man. I don't know if he is. I don't know, you know, if he just dresses like that as part of his act. And he sings karaoke along to his boombox. And I watched a couple of his clips on YouTube and he's all right. His singing's probably about as good as mine. Not much better, not much worse, I suppose. And in the video, he sort of plays himself, really. He's this homeless guy who is earning money on the street singing and he collects all the cash together and goes and buys a load of gifts from like a dollar store and goes back to see his family, which I guess he hasn't seen in a long time. Yeah, and that's sort of interspersed with bits of Brandon Flowers singing. That's the video. It's worth looking out. I say check it out. And when the video first came out, it was premiered exclusively on the Starbucks website. It was like the 1st of December 2010. The 1st of December is World AIDS Day. And Starbucks paid 5 cents for every view towards the charity, the Product Red AIDS charity. So that's nice, I suppose. When it came out, it debuted at number 3 on the Billboard Holiday Chart, but on the Billboard Hot 100, it only made it to number 79. And on the UK Singles Chart, it made it to number 53. It was only released digitally. That could explain why it didn't do fantastic. But again, like I said, it's not the most festive of songs anyway. Having said that, it is a nice song, so check it out. That's Boots by The Killers.
Stomp my boots before I go back in.
Now it's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
So here's the first segment from Bob Baker, our self-appointed podcast barman. And this episode, he's going to be talking about how us Brits use the word Muppet. Here it comes.
The good thing is, as the self-appointed barman, I only really need to drink on two occasions. When I'm in love and when I'm not. And do you hear what I hear? We're going to cover a lot of ground to arrive at today's word. It starts with the Muppet Christmas Carol. As we know, this is a musical starring Michael Caine and the Muppets, based on the story by Charles Dickens, and filmed on a soundstage in England. Now, we know all about the Christmas Carol and its various interpretations here on Total Christmas. Plus, Jack has introduced us to many of the Muppet Christmas specials, including that other Sesame Street interpretation of the Christmas Carol, which, as he says, is trolley. The bottom line is we know all about what the Americans call a Muppet. Jim Henson coined the word for his really cute creations that we love, which combine the words marionette and puppet. So when my son went to college, his freshman roommate was British. He is a golfer named Matt Fitzpatrick from Sheffield, England. Matt is now a pro, and we still see him on tour. When I was with him last summer, his English buddies called him a Fookin' Muppet. Now, I could figure out what they meant by Fookin', but Muppet? What did they mean by that? So when I started to look into this, I found that Muppet is a British insult. I can't believe it. I mean, Muppet? Kermit? Fozzie? Beaker? I thought this can't be real. But it is. If you've done something silly or stupid in the UK, you're a Muppet. And that's when it hit me. So maybe, when you are being naive, or foolish, or goofily enthusiastic, yeah, you are a Muppet. I think it's really more of a term of endearment. And you know what? I'm a Muppet. Proudly. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Well, thanks for that, Bob. Yeah, do you know what? It's funny. Like that, as an insult, the term Muppet, it's only been sort of like about 30 years, I guess, which is, I say only 30 years. If you're 20, that's like a really long time. But for me, it doesn't seem that long. Do you know, I was never a fan. When people started calling people Muppets as an insult, it always bothered me because I'm such a big fan of the Muppets. I always felt a bit like, well, why are you calling him that? That's a good thing, isn't it? But the way Bob talks about it, I guess it is a good thing. So yeah, that is an insult in the UK. It means you're a bit useless. He's like, oh, he's just a Muppet. It's not a nice thing to say, but people say it. So thanks again, Bob. Now let's do this. The last few episodes, I've been getting my jokes from the Christmas joke toilet roll that my wife got me for Christmas. However, this week, I'm constipated. But luckily, I received a joke from Bob Baker that he heard from an old man in an airport. And here's the joke. What nationality is Santa Claus? North Polish. Yeah? Yeah. Do you know what? I'm almost wishing I could wipe my backside with that one. But there you go. Thanks, Bob. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Here it is, boys and girls, the highlight or lowlight of the show, depending on what your preferences are. You know the deal, I ask you 10 questions, you write down 10 answers, but you don't write them down, you just think of them, because I bet not one person who listens to this podcast out of the two of you has ever written down the answers. So, yeah, I read out the 10 questions, you think about the answers, and then I give you the answers. That's how quizzes tend to work. Yeah, so should we start? Well, I'm starting. Question number one. It's quite a long one, this one, actually, but I think you'll get it. Which US animated TV series had its origins in a video Christmas card called The Spirit of Christmas, created by Trey Parker and Matt Stone for Fox Broadcasting Company executive Brian Garden? I told you it was quite long, but I think you'll get that one. Question number two. Spam is a popular stuffing ingredient for roast turkey in Hawaii. Question number three. Sorry, that's a true or false one. So is it? I'm asking you. Is spam a popular stuffing ingredient for roast turkey in Hawaii? Is it? I don't know. But when we get the answers, I will know. That's how learning works. Question number three. What is the Scottish name for pigs in blankets? Now, in the UK, pigs in blankets are different to other places around the world. Our pigs in blankets are little sausages wrapped in bacon. What are the Scottish called those? Question number something. Which Welsh-born Knight of the Realm is the narrator of the 2000 film How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Got that one? Good. Question number. In which 2011
animated film does Grand Santa whisk his grandson away on a Christmas Eve mission in his old wooden sleigh to deliver just one present that was missed earlier for a little girl named Gwen in Cornwall? Goodness me, that was a question, wasn't it? Grand Santa takes Arthur Christmas out to deliver a present. Right, what film is that? Does that help you? That might make it a bit easier. Right, question whatever. Which construction worker topped the Christmas toy sales list in the UK in 2001? He's a construction worker. Question number whatever. In the film Elf, what is the first rule of the Code of Elves? Now, they've got three answers for this one, so it's a multiple choice one. I don't know if you'd need that, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. They are, is it eat turkey every day, treat every day like Christmas, or practice present wrapping every day? Which one is it? Next one. Which Salford-born actor played the title role in the 1970 musical film Scrooge? I covered that about 2 years ago, or maybe 1 year ago. I lose track. Question number whatever. In the 2019 Walker's Crisps Christmas TV advert, which American singer first argued with and then beat off an elf to get the bag of crisps? I don't know that one, actually. 2019, no idea. So that's exciting. And last one. In which song does the singer have the following Christmas gifts on her list? A sable, a 54 convertible, a yacht, the deed to a platinum mine, and a ring. Easy one, that, wasn't it? Right, those are your 10 questions. Here comes your 10 answers. You excited? You better be, baby. Right, question number one. I've got to read the whole blooming thing out again. Which US animated TV series had its origins in a video Christmas card called The Spirit of Christmas, created by Trey Parker and Matt Stone for Fox Broadcasting Company executive Brian Garden? It was South Park. To be honest, all I had to do was say which animated TV series was created by Trey Parker and Matt Stone. I reckon you would have got it from that, wouldn't you? But I tell you what, that The Spirit of Christmas, it's like a very mini episode of South Park. Worth having a look at, actually. Google it or go on YouTube and you'll find it. It's only short. Have a look at it. You might enjoy it. Okay, question number two. Spam. Is it a popular stuffing ingredient for roast turkey in Hawaii? Is it? It is. That one was true. Number three. What is the Scottish name for pigs in blankets? It's kilted sausages. Now, here's the thing, right? So I Googled it to double check that because I thought, I've never heard that before. And it actually looks like they're more likely to be called kilted soldiers than kilted sausages. So that's the book's once again wrong. To be honest, I don't know if we can trust any of these answers. Do they really use spam to stuff the turkey in Hawaii? We can only take this book's word for it. Shall I Google it? I'm Googling it. Yeah, do you know what? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't think it's that popular, but it's not unheard of, the old spam in Turkey. So, okay, next one. Which Welsh-born Knight of the Realm is the narrator of the 2000 film How the Grinch Stole Christmas? That is Anthony Hopkins. Yep, I knew that one. That makes me smug. Okay, question whatever. In which 2011... Oh my God, this question's so long. The answer's Arthur Christmas. Okay, that whole thing. Do you know, I watched it properly for the first time this last year. Didn't really care for it. It was all right. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I didn't really care. I don't think I'll watch it again in a hurry, unless the girls want to. Okay, next one. Which construction worker topped the Christmas toy sales list in 2001 in the UK? It was Bob the Builder. Can we fix it? Yes. Yes, we can. We have the skills. Next one. In the film Elf, what is the first rule of the Code of Elves? Is it eat turkey every day, treat every day like Christmas, or practice present wrapping every day? It was, of course, treat every day like Christmas, which means you don't go into work and you get drunk. So that's how I'm pretty much treating every day. Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm doing it. I'm treating every day like Christmas. I don't have turkey every day, though. I've let myself down. Oh. Question number whatever. Which Salford-born actor played the title role in the 1970 musical film Scrooge? That was Albert Finney. Yeah, we covered that either last year or the year before. It's decent, actually. I liked it. That's the one where he's, like, aged up so that he can play a young version of himself when he goes back in time. Yeah. Next one. In the 2019 Walker's Crisps Christmas TV advert, which American singer first argues with and then beats off an elf to get to the bag of crisps? That was, ready? Mariah Carey. Yeah. And I'll be discussing that a little bit more in depth after the quiz. Okay, so last question. In which song does the singer have the following Christmas gifts on her list? A sable, a 54 convertible, a yacht, the deed to a platinum mine, and a ring. That, of course, is Santa Baby. So there you go. Those are your 10 questions. I don't care where you scored, and I'm sure you don't care either. Should we move on to something else? Yeah, let's have a chat about Mariah Carey's Christmas advert. Here we go.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for segment.
Yeah, when I was asking the question about Mariah Carey's Walker's Crisps advert, I thought, you know what, I'll have a quick look at that. And I watched the advert, and then I read a few of the comments about it, and it's really interesting. Just a quick backstory, Walker's Crisps is the biggest manufacturer of crisps in the UK. They were actually bought out in 1989 by PepsiCo, and they've got the similar logo to the Lay's crisp logo, but it says Walker's instead of Lay's, but it's on like the big yellow circle. Yeah, anyway, they do all sorts of different flavors of Walker's crisps, and at Christmas they bring out special Christmas themed flavors, which interestingly Bob Baker talked about back in one of his Do You Hear What I Hear segments last year. In 2019 they created this advert with Mariah Carey, and I'd go through what happens in the advert. It's quite interesting. Well, not that interesting, but it's humorous. So it starts with Mariah Carey. She's singing All I Want for Christmas, and there's like a film crew filming her doing like a music video, and her voiceover starts talking about how much she loves Christmas and what a great time for giving and sharing it is.
I love Christmas. It's a magical time, a time for giving, a time for caring, a time for sharing.
And you see all these presents that she's given to people, which are quite funny. Like, she's given these guys silk kimonos. Someone's got a framed picture of Mariah Carey riding on a unicorn. And then she opens another present for someone, and all these white doves fly out. I don't know what they're going to do with those white doves. Yeah, so it's just like humorous things. And then she goes over to get a bag of crisps from the craft services table, and there's only one bag of crisps left, and she goes to grab it at the same time as this elf does. I guess I'm not sure if he's one of the extras or he's just a PA who's dressed up as an elf to be Christmassy. I'm not sure what's going on there. And they have like a tug of war over this last bag of crisps, and she's going, I saw him first, and he's saying, well, you didn't. And she said, do you know, let me play it for you, because this is how it goes.
The last bag.
I saw them first.
Don't think you did.
I think I did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
Thank you so much.
She hits that high note, and he has to put his fingers in his ears, and so has to let go of the bag of crisps, and she gets the bag of crisps. And just as the advert ends, she opens up the bag of crisps and says, it is Christmas after all, and she hands him a crisp. And just as he's about to eat it, a dove flies in and grabs it and flies off. That's the advert. It's quite a good advert, actually. You know, it's cool. I enjoyed it. But there's a bit of a backlash to it. A couple of things. Firstly, I want you to guess how much she got paid to be in this advert. Now, here's the deal. Obviously, they had to pay a good amount of money to use the song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, so there's that included. But also, her image was in all the marketing, not just for this one advert, like on all the billboards, and actually on the bags of crisps as well. So you've got to take those things into account. So how much do you think she was paid for this advertising campaign? Are you ready? Have you got a figure in your mind? Okay, it was £9 million. That's $11 million. Can you believe that? That's more than Hollywood stars get paid for like blockbuster roles. And she got it for 1 2-minute advert. It's incredible. And here's the thing, right? There was a bit of a backlash, because when she takes her first bite of crisp, she like, you look at her face and you look in her eyes and it looks like she doesn't want to bite it. I mean, she's a curvaceous woman. I'm sure she has eaten crisps in her time. I don't know. Maybe not. But it's like, the look on her face is like, do I have to eat this? It's fleeting. You know, it's not obvious that she doesn't want to eat the crisps. But when the advert came out, a lot of people were on Twitter saying things like, eat it properly, woman, or take a proper bite. So, you know, people did notice it, and I've watched it a few times, and yeah, there's a look in her eye, you're sort of thinking, is it she's just bad at acting, or does she not want to eat that crisp? I don't know. The crisps in question, also hearkening back to the quiz, are pigs in blanket flavour crisps, or kilted soldiers, as they call them in Scotland. So there you go, yeah. One other thing I noticed from the advert, and this is sad, when they're doing the tug of war for the bag of crisps, it zooms in on the crisps and their hands, right? It's not Mariah Carey's hand. It's someone else wearing a similar dress, because you can see her sleeve, but there's no rings on her fingers. And when they're doing the advert, she's got rings on two of her fingers through the whole advert, apart from when it's a close-up on this bag of crisps. Yeah, I don't know if she's like, no, I'm not going to pull on a bag of crisps. I don't know what happened. But that's it. That's the advert, and I thought it was worth chatting about. So I hope you enjoyed that. A bit of a dive into a Christmas advert from years ago where Mariah Carey got paid £9 million. Goodness. Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Now it's time for Bob Baker's second segment, and he's going to give us some ideas on how to keep that Christmas spirit alive all year long. Take it away, Bob.
Thanks, Jack. Today's suggestion comes from Shelley Arnold, she of that amazing Christmas Village fame. Now, to keep Christmas every day, I would just keep her display up all year and lay on the floor and admire it. But that's just me. Shelley, on the other hand, she uses Pandora and listens to Christmas radio all year round. She likes to play it when she takes her village down, but also when she's doing her housework to keep her spirit alive. Now, I can't listen to traditional music outside the season, but I do have playlists where I collect tiki Christmas songs. Yes, they exist. For Leon Day or Christmas in July. Also, I have a group of songs that I use all year that mention Christmas, but are not jingly bells and choral groups. They are a way to keep the Christmas spirit alive for all 365 days, but without a retread of listening to the same old tunes. These are songs like 80 Windows by Nada Surf, Better Days by Goo Goo Dolls, Houses on the Hill by Whiskey Town, or even Dance Till We're High by Paul McCartney and the Firemen. They are not obvious, but are subtle, with just enough hint of the holiday. Now, I know that you have some outlier favorites and would love to hear what's hidden on your Spotify. I want the Christmas songs that are perfect for those months outside of December. However you silently celebrate and whatever you are secretly listening to, make sure to find and slip in those songs that bring you a little Christmas joy, no matter what the season. So how else do you get your Christmas fix throughout the year? Share your secret with Jack. Come on, we're all nuts here.
Thanks for that, Bob, and also thanks to Shelley Arnold for sending in her idea. If you want to get involved and you've got any ideas on how to keep the Christmas spirit running all year long, you can just email them through to me and I'll pass it on to Bob. But thanks again, guys. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, last episode I discussed the festival of Sinterklaas in the Netherlands, and I touched briefly upon the gentleman Zwarte Piet. That's how you pronounce it. His name's Black Pete. That's how you translate it. Now, I'm going to tread very lightly around this. I'm not going to go into it too much, but I am going to discuss it. Interestingly, I was familiar with Black Pete from a very early age because my dad used to talk about how Black Peter would come around with Father Christmas or Santa Claus, and if you'd been naughty, Black Peter would hit you with his stick. He never actually came to our house and hit me with that stick, which is a good thing, because I was a very good boy, of course. Now, pretty much what my dad knew was the same as what happens with the original Black Peter. He comes over with Santa Claus on the boat that we talked about last episode, and he dishes out small presents. Originally, he did carry a bunch of sticks, apparently, to hit people with, but now it's more, he's just like a friendly sidekick to Santa Claus. And originally there was just one Black Peter, but now there can be many coming alongside Sinterklaas. And he dishes out things that are called Kruitennoten and Pepernoten, and they are ginger nuts
or peppernuts, which are small round biscuits, and he'll sort of dish them out to the kids with candy and other things. So to describe how Black Peter looks, you're going to understand why he's quite a controversial figure. Now, he has a black face, he has frizzy hair, he has exaggerated lips painted on with lipstick, he wears gold earrings and wears Renaissance dress. Yeah, that's what he looks like. Now, his history, I could go into that, but it's pointless because I read so many different conflicting articles that all sort of said it could have started here, could have started there, and it would just take far too long to go through it all. So what I'm going to say is the modern version of Black Peter seems to have originated in the book we discussed last week by Jan Schenkman, which came out in 1850. So it's been about 170 years since we've got like a set idea of Black Peter being St. Nicholas's sidekick. Now, the name of that book was St. Nicholas en Zijn Knecht. Now, when I translate that, you're also going to see why this could be considered a bit controversial, because it translates as Sinterklaas and his servant. Now, Jan Schenkman was very interested in the Dutch royal family, and one of whom had gone on a trip to Cairo and they bought a slave and brought it back with them. And a lot of people think that this could be why Jan Schenkman added that into his book. Now, slavery was abolished in the Netherlands in 1863, but before then, the Netherlands were deeply involved with the transatlantic slave trade. So, yeah, I don't want to get deeply into the controversy of Black Peter, but if you've seen pictures of him, you will understand why he's a very controversial figure. Again, I don't want to go into the arguments for and against him, but my arguments personally would be against him. A lot of people say, oh, it's just tradition. It's not a good tradition. Yeah. But since about 2010, more and more people and organisations are moving towards Sooty Pete or Chimney Pete. And he looks similar to Black Pete, but doesn't have the lips, the earrings or the frizzy hair. But he has like black marks on his face where he may have gone down a chimney and he's got soot on his face, which does placate a lot of people, but still there is some controversy against Sooty Pete as well. So there you go. A quick side note here, Black Peter actually appeared in an episode of The Office. I don't know if you've watched The Office. I've just recently finished watching it with the wife, and it was only about 2 weeks ago that we saw the episode that was supposed to have Black Pete in it. When it was originally shown on NBC, it had the scene in, but it was deleted to be on Netflix. And like I say, when I watched it last week, I didn't really notice that there was anything deleted, but I've had a look online and it's a 10 second clip where Nate, who's one of the people that works in the warehouse, he's walking in. Actually, I'll play the scene for you and then I'll tell you what happens.
Often portrayed in colorful pantaloons and blackface.
No, Dwight, no.
Oh, come on. We don't blindly stick to every outmoded aspect of our traditions. Come on, give it the spirit of it, you guys.
So, at that point, Dwight makes a call on his phone, and we cut to Nate, one of the guys who works in the warehouse, and he's walking in, and the camera sort of pans up his body, and you see he's got blackface, and then he reads the text he's received from Dwight on his phone, turns around and walks back to his car. And that's the 10 seconds that are deleted. If you watch the episode, there are still some scenes where in the background you can see Nate, and he's got like the remnants of blackface paint around the sides of his face where he hasn't managed to wash it all off. But you don't actually see him with full blackface in the episode now. Now, like I mentioned earlier, originally there was only one Black Peter, but now there are numerous, and there's a TV series and series of films called The Club van Sinterklaas, or The Santa Claus Club. And this TV series started in 1999 on Fox Kids and ran for 11 seasons till 2009. And then since 2012, they've released yearly films. Now, here's a few of the film titles you've got. You've got The Sinterklaas Club and The Secret of the Toy Doctor, Sinterklaas Club and the Talking Horse, Sinterklaas Club and the Lost Shoes, Sinterklaas Club and the Golden Horseshoe, Where is the Big Book of Sinterklaas, and The Club of Sinterklaas and the Big Peter Fest. Peter, well, it's actually spelled Pietenen Fest, which is a Peter Fest with lots of Black Pete's in it. And aside from the TV series and the series of films, they've released 12 albums, 12 music albums, and 10 singles, two of which reached the number one position in the single top 100
in the Netherlands. One of those was actually the theme tune to one of the TV series. Now, like I said, originally there was only one Black Peter. In this club of Santa Claus, there were numerous. I found a list of about 25 different Petes, and I'm going to read out a load of them to you now. And most of these ones, they translate directly from the Netherlands into English. You'll understand what they are just as I say the name. So you've got Staff Pete, who seems to be in charge of personnel. Music Pete, who's in charge of music. Test Pete, who's in charge of tests. I think he might be some sort of professor or something in laboratories. I don't know, because you've also got Prof Pete as well, who's a professor. Surprise Pete. Radar Pete, Cool Pete, Colour Pete, I don't know what he does, colours, something to do with colours. Hocus Pocus Pete, who I think does magic. Hulp Pete, who helps people. Dance Pete, who does dancing. Cook and Pete, cook and translates to kitchen, so I'm guessing he's the cook, because he's cooking. Super Pete, who's a superhero from what I can gather. Sport Pete, Pete Fernando. I think he's like, his name's Peter and Fernando. Couldn't they just call him Fernando instead of Pete? Spa Pete, who's spare. And Boven Pete, or Boven Pete, who Boven translates to above. I don't know. Now, I've left out 8 of these, and the reason I've left them out is because these ones, they don't sound like what they are. You've got to translate from the Dutch to the English. So I'm going to read them out. You've got to guess what they are, and then I'll tell you what they are at the end. So you get 2 quizzes in this episode, and you're like, oh, if I wanted to listen to quizzes, Jack, I'd download a quiz podcast. Not this trolley. Well, you're here, and this is what we're doing today. So you've got Hoof Piet, Wifeis Piet, Hoch Hochte Piet, Via Piet, Gul Piet, Back Piet, Cadopiet, there's Cadopiet 1 and 2, would you believe? And Combius Pete. There you go. I probably pronounced those really badly, but there's 8 of them there. And do you want to hear who they were? Probably not. I want to tell you anyway. So the first one, Hoof Piet, is the chief. He's the head Pete. Apparently, hoof means head or chief. Wifeis Pete is signpost Pete, or guide. He's the guide. I think he's the one that steers the boat. Hogte Pete is high height Pete, so I'm guessing he's very tall. Via Pete is weather Pete, don't know what he does. Yule Pete is generous Pete, so that's nice, isn't it? Back Pete is bin Pete, or container Pete, so yeah. Cadeau Pete 1 and 2 are present Pete, so they give out presents. And the last one, Combius Pete, is galley Pete, and I believe he works in the galley on their steamboat. So there you go. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about Black Pete and the Club of Santa Claus. If you want to go and check it out, you can do. Like I say, very controversial, not something I wanted to go into too in depth, so that's why I sort of moved across to the Santa Claus Club as quick as I could. One thing I want to say about the Santa Claus Club, the TV series that ran from 1999 to 2009, they were originally in blackface. However, the films they've released yearly from 2012, they are sooty Petes, so they look just normal, but with soot on their faces. They do still dress in the Renaissance clothing, but none of the other stuff. So there you go, that's Black Pete. Now let's swiftly move on to this. In the last segment, I briefly touched upon the American Office. I guess if you're in America, you just call it The Office. And Carlo and I have just finished watching it all through for the first time. We finished it last week, and it was quite touching, the last episode. It's quite a journey to go on, watching 2 episodes a night at The Office. So we've been watching it for, a good 4 months now? God, I have no idea how long I've been watching it. It's 200 episodes they were, so 100 days, I guess, that would have covered if we were watching 2 episodes a day. The whole lot is on Netflix. I also believe it's on Amazon Prime as well. I'm sure I saw it on there. If you haven't watched The Office, I suggest you do. If you have, this week's recommendation is actually a podcast called Office Ladies, and it's hosted by Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, and they play Pam and Angela from The Office, and each episode they talk about an episode of The Office, and they go quite in depth. Like, the episodes of The Office were only 20 minutes long. Well, each of their episodes is over an hour long. I really enjoy it. I've been listening to it for about a month now. I listen to two or three episodes a day when I'm out gardening. And yeah, I highly recommend it. Here's a promo clip.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the Ultimate Office Rewatch Podcast just for you.
Each week, we will break down an episode of The Office and give exclusive behind-the-scenes stories that only two people who were there can tell you.
We're the Office Ladies.
Yeah, anyone who's a fan of The American Office, I definitely think will get a kick out of listening to this. They're really nice, they're really upbeat, and it's just a positive, fun podcast to listen to. They've won loads of awards, and it's been going for about 3 years. So that means there's loads of back episodes for you to listen to. And each episode being an hour long, that'll give you plenty to keep you occupied. Yeah, so that's this episode's recommendation, Office Ladies. Go and have a listen, if you want. If you don't want to, don't. I'm not going to force you to do anything you don't want to. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get involved, please send me your stories. You can email them in. Ideally, you could record it and then email it to me, and I can send you a pickle ornament to go on your tree next year. You can send in any stories you want. If you want to tell us about how you found out about Santa, if you want to tell us about the worst Christmas present you've ever received, if you want to tell us a happy story, if you want to tell us a sad story, I don't care. I just want to hear your stories. Send your stories in and I'll play them on the show. So get in touch at totalchristmas@gmail.com, or the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. Or of course, I'm on Facebook. I do put two or three things up on Facebook each week. I put links on to stuff we've talked about, things like that. So check out the Facebook page, like and subscribe, do all that sort of stuff. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, God damn it, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Going for a new amateur recreational saucer sled land speed record, Clark W. Griswold Jr.
Remember, don't try this at home, kids. I am a professional. Later, dudes. Let her rip, Hank Penn.